What's up, guys? I'm Cora.
And I'm Sharon.
And this is Learning on the Job, a podcast for moms.
Join us as we talk about our highs and lows and everything in between on this journey of motherhood.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Learning on the Job podcast. We are so happy to have you here. Thank you guys for letting us take a little break last week. But Sharon, how have you been since I've talked to you last?
I'm doing good. I got something stuck in my throat. But I mean, I feel like we've been talking, like we talk constantly.
Yes.
Even whenever we're not talking on here. But yeah, it was nice to take a little break from recording just because having kids and with the weather being crazy, so many things have just been hectic around here. But I'm doing good. We got to, I think the last time I saw you in person was whenever we were over there for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that was fun.
But that was good getting to see the girls together.
It was. This was the first time that they got to spend time together since Jenny started walking. So that was a lot of fun.
I love it. I can't wait till they can start like going to the park and whatnot together.
I know. We've actually just started taking Jenny to the park in our neighborhood because, I mean, we've taken her before.
But now she can, like, start to do stuff.
Yeah, she, like, all we could do was hold her while we were on the swing or hold her while we went down the slide. And we still have to hold her while we go down the slide just because her brace, the plastic, whenever she slides down, it just makes her fall backwards onto her back. And she usually hits her head. So, we just end up holding her anyway, but now she can at least walk around and climb up the actual playground, like go up the stairs and everything. So that's a lot of fun to watch her do that, and she loves it. She also likes to try to climb up the slide. She'll climb up it, and or not all the way, but she'll go and climb and just sit on the bottom of the slide and then clap because she did it, and then
like, oh yay,
gets down and does it again.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, yeah, it was definitely fun getting to see you for the Super Bowl. And I know that Jenny was having more ear infections. So has that gotten more resolved or?
So we're pretty much in limbo right now. She's most likely just going to have to be on antibiotics for the next 3 months.
Wow.
Which kind of sucks. But we were referred to an ENT, so she's most likely just going to have to get tubes. And I'm kind of hoping that they're going to prescribe her allergy medicine rather than us just doing over-the-counter Zyrtec. Just because if they actually think that it's allergy-related. Because she usually gets congestion. Even if her nose isn't running, a lot of times I can hear it in her breath, like it's sitting in the back of her throat, and sometimes she likes to make noise with it, like kind of like gargling it just because it's there. But none of that really seems to bother her. It usually only seems to bother her if her ear is actually hurting, and then she'll just be digging in her ear. But I mean, we just, the specialists, it takes so long to get in to see them, and they don't have a waiting list for cancellations. So we made an appointment for the end of April, but we just have to wait and see if somebody cancels, and maybe we can get in sooner. But we're just kind of waiting it out and hoping that she can make it that long without going crazy.
At least it's, like, you know, closer to the end of cold and flu season. So, I mean, obviously, allergy season is kind of gearing up. We'll see how she does with that and whatnot. I know, obviously, you and I know Texas has so many allergens down here. And this time of year, like, the mold count gets really high.
It's just really hard. Like, we've had to talk with her daycare, too, because I told them they can't keep sending her home every single week just for me to take her to the doctor to get a doctor's note of them saying the exact same thing. And they're being understanding. So we're just going to have to play it by ear and do a case by case basis, because they understand that she has that she's having ear infections. They know that she's being referred to an ENT and that we're waiting. So I'm trying to see if I can just give them like a general doctor's note, pretty much saying, unless she's showing these symptoms,
like she's,
then,
you know,
then she's fine.
She's, or we're doing everything we can at this point, you know?
Yeah, I've given them permission that if she has a fever, then they can give her Tylenol instead of sending her home. And whenever they do that, they usually wait an hour and then they update me to let me know if she's feeling better or not. So, because they had to do that last week and it worked out really well. She ended up going outside and playing, and they've been really pushing the water for her. So we're just hoping that everything goes good. It's just weird because sometimes she won't be feeling good from the get-go, but then sometimes she just won't feel good once she wakes up from a nap. Like, once she lays down for a nap, then she's done.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Well, we took Claire, or I did, to the doctor last week because she had her 18-month evaluation, so...
Yeah,
that was
how'd
good.
That go?
It went pretty good. You know, she got her last like round of shots that she needs until she's 4. Other than, we did actually go ahead and get her first round of the COVID shot, and so I'll have to take her back in like a month to get the second one. And they actually want you to get like a booster a few months later. So do that. But then at that point, other than like, you know, like maybe a flu shot, she won't have to get any more shots until she's 4. So, you know, all the baby shots are done, which is nice.
That's good.
Yeah, definitely hated. I was always the one that took her, you know, and I'm not big on needles. Like, they freak me out. And the whole pregnancy, I had to really deal with that all the time. And now I've had to help her with it, and it's rough. So I'm glad that part is over for a little while. And then when she's older, I'll have to explain it to her what's happening. That part kind of is scary, but we'll see.
Yeah, I definitely have a vivid memory of my mom having to practically sit on me to hold me down to get a shot one time because I was not sitting
it.
still to
I
do
definitely
it.
have memories of like crying really hard that I had to go get shots when I was little. So I know that it wasn't a fun time for me, and I've never been a big fan of needles. But other than that, the appointment, it went really well. I mean, her doctor said that she was really healthy. You know, she's had issues with like potential heart murmur in the past, and that seems to be cleared up on its own pretty quickly. So I don't know if it was just something that was going on as she was developing or what, but
that's good that it seems to be going away.
Yeah, for sure. So happy about that. He said that she had a strong heart. You know, and one thing that I found interesting was that, or I mean, I knew it was coming, but just, you know, you have to do all sorts of evaluations like every time you go, but the 18-month one is when they start evaluating a little more closely for you know, like autism spectrum and things like that. And so
any kind of delay.
Yeah, any kind of delays and things like that. And I'll tell you, like, those questionnaires, they're vague yet specific at the same time. So they'll really get you worrying, you know, you just have to be like, yes or no, my child does this or doesn't this. And it's like, oh, does your child point at something? And she'll like gesture at something, but maybe she, and it will say like point with her finger. And I'm like, she doesn't necessarily do a lot of pointing, but she does gesture at stuff. And so I was like, worry about stuff like that. But the doctor said, like, no, gesturing is still something that we're looking for. You know, it's, and, you know, just basically all the times that I was, had a place on there where I was worried about her development, you know, he really was able to give me a little bit more insight. Like, no, you know, we really just want to make sure that they, you know, that they look to you, that they're trying to involve you in their playing and in their development, that they're not completely off on their own, you know, and things like that. And so it was good. It gave me a lot more reassurance about some things that I had been like privately worried about. So
Jenny goes back on the 3rd for her 15-month checkup. So I'm really hoping that we can make it till then before we go to the doctor again.
Be nice.
Yeah, that's fingers crossed. But yeah, I even looked up because they have, I think it's supposed to be what, like 16 gestures by 16 months or 18 by 18 months, something like that. And I looked up some of the milestones for Jenny that she should be hitting about 15 months, thinking that she should be saying a whole list of words and everything, but actually she really just needs to be able to say like 5 or 6 words
exactly, and it's,
by this time, and I'm like, scary. Oh, okay, she's fine, like,
yeah,
she's
exactly
good.
And it's, and the gestures really count for a lot more than we give them credit for. So, and there's a lot of things that are gestures that we don't even realize they're looking for, like, what they're really looking for at 18 months is are they starting to try and communicate with you? Do they understand what you're saying? Like, you know, and that was a lot of the questions, like, when you tell your child, like, go put something over there, does your child listen? And I mean, like, yeah, she's a toddler, so maybe not always. She's got like some selective hearing as it is.
Yeah.
But like, yes, she can understand, you know, does she try and start helping with things like that? And that was another thing that I think I got out of, the appointment that I know, but it just reminded me, you know, I it's my first time doing this, so I think a lot of the times, like, oh, she's too little to be doing this yet, to be doing that yet. But, you know, he was saying, like, you know, things I need to involve her in more of, and like starting to color, like she really needs to already starting to color. And I'm like, oh, she's just gonna eat the crayons, like she's too little for that, but I need to start teaching her now how to do it. And, you know, he said, involve her in more daily tasks, which we do, a lot of daily tasks, but, you know, we're starting to get her to pick up her toys on her own and help with the laundry and little things like that, and really help develop her mind a little bit more. And potty training, well, me, I should already be starting to consider, like, you know, we were talking about signs of potty training, and she does have some signs that she's showing. So, we're going to wait a couple more months because we've got some big changes coming up in the future, but we do plan on starting that journey soon. And it's just crazy because, you know, I just still look at her as a baby. So it's just crazy.
Yeah,
you know?
We've definitely talked about potty training. And I mean, we were even given a little training potty for like a hand-me-down one for her birthday. So we already have it. And I think at some point we're probably going to start trying to introduce it. I think one of the biggest challenges is going to be her brace.
Oh, for sure.
She's not just going to be able to pull her pants down, and so that's something that we may just have to consult with our doctors to see if we should potty train right now, and if what's the best course of action for that, because our next appointment isn't until August and she'll be about 21 months old, which if that appointment goes the way we're hoping, then that would still be a good time for us to start potty training. But it's just one of those things, like, we don't know, this is our first time doing it, and nobody that we actually know has to deal with the brace like we do as well. So that's just something that we've thought about. And yeah, it's a lot.
Oh, for sure. Well, and I think I was surprised to hear it. He told me, you know, like 18 months is the lowest he would start them at, but, you know, he sees a lot of kids get successfully potty trained between 18 months and 2. I always imagined that 2 was closer to the age that you started to do it. That's kind of how I saw a lot of people doing it. I'll confess something. My nephew, he's 3, and I think that he's better about it now, but they're still working on him being potty trained. So some kids are a little bit later than others. So, you know, some develop at their own pace. And I imagine, you know, the brace could be something that they might say, like, oh, well, maybe just at least that part of it where, like, she's starting to learn that. Because for one thing he said that I could start introducing her with was, like, you know, I noticed that she has, like, a little bit of a routine. So, like, in the morning, I want to try, like, getting the diaper off and, like, sitting her on a potty and seeing what happens, because she does normally go soon after she wakes up as it is. And just like little things like that to kind of get them used to it, because, you know, I think it's a long process. So there might be some things that you can do before she gets the brace off or before she's able to, like, not have to wear it all the time like she is now, which hopefully she won't.
Yeah, just stuff to look into. But I think this is a good segue into our topic for today,
Definitely.
which is it's pretty relaxed, but it's also kind of fun. Cora and I were chatting about this yesterday, and we thought it'd be cool to bring to you guys. But we're going to be doing some mom confessions and just kind of those things that maybe some may be a little controversial. Some may be just a little different styles of parenting. I feel like it's just some of those things, like some people may feel mom guilt from, just because some of it is for our own selfish purposes.
Yeah, I think
But
basically that's kind of what it comes down to for us is like there are things that like we feel guilty for saying out loud because, you know, we put our babies first, but every now and then there are some times where we kind of want to put ourselves first or we
but you
have
feel
ulterior
bad.
motives. Or things just work out a little better in our favor. So, and I think for the most part, they really are relatable. So, if you're here to be judgmental, you've come to the wrong place.
Yeah. But I'll start off with the first one. So, yeah, a little confession is that I really try to stretch nap time as long as possible, so that I can either continue doing whatever I'm doing, whether it's productive or just a personal thing I want to do. And when I mean try to stretch the nap, is Ginny is at that point where she wakes up sometimes and she can put herself back to sleep. Sometimes she'll sit up and fuss and then she lays herself back down. There have been times that I will sit there and she'll wake up and she'll just be looking around and I wait to see, are you gonna put yourself back to
Oh,
sleep? Because
100%. I
there are
did that
times,
just like yesterday.
yeah, there are definitely times, like yeah, yesterday, she took almost a 3 hour nap because she woke up and she sat there and she wasn't really fussing too much. She was just kind of awake. And then I was like, come on, go back to sleep or just lay down a little bit. And it's usually me just seeing, will you just be content for a little bit longer for me to get to this next point? She put herself straight back to sleep, and I ended up actually going and waking her up
Because it had been
a
so
little bit
long.
later, just so that I knew that she wasn't gonna sleep all the way to dinner.
For sure.
I needed to make sure that she was still gonna have a good night's sleep, which she did. She was fine, but girl needed that 3 hour nap. It
No,
was great.
girl, first of all, so relatable. I've definitely been there. And like, sometimes mom needs that 3 hour nap. Like, mom needs you to take that nap. Like, there, the days where I get like, and I get 2 hour naps most days, honestly, because she thrives on her somewhat routine that we have, and it's great. So, but and there are days that I get 3 hour naps, and I'm able, that's when I get the majority of my work done. Like, I squeeze as much of my work day into that nap time. And sometimes it's also the time where I'm like, oh, well, I really wanted to like watch this show on TV, or and I wanted to, you know, eat in peace or whatever. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting nap time to be as long as it possibly can. I think that that's totally reasonable.
I also posted on Instagram some of these little questions to poll our listeners and followers to see what y'all thought. And I meant to put it up earlier today so that we could have a full day of responses, but I was busy. So, as of right now, yeah, for real. As of right now, while we're filming, 100% of people who have voted so far all agree with us that they've done this.
I love
So,
it.
yeah, I think it's definitely relatable.
All right. So my confession is, so normally my daughter goes to bed around 7 o'clock. That tends to be her bedtime, unless something changes throughout the day. Either she doesn't nap and she goes to bed earlier, or she sleeps too long, or we do something else and she goes to bed later. But there are days where Especially like in when I've got like as I've mentioned, I watch Big Brother and it comes on like 3 times a week and it comes on at 7 and the Thursday episodes are live. So I really like to stay like current with those. So sometimes I will get bedtime at like 6:45. That way that she's in bed before 7. So, because if we start bedtime at 7, she's not really in bed until like 7:15 and can't be
Yeah.
having that. So sometimes I start bedtime a little early so that I can go watch TV.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There have definitely been times whenever Jake and I are watching something. We've all said that we watch TV while we eat dinner. It's 2023. That's what happens.
Same, yeah,
So
100%.
there are times whenever Jake and I are into a new show or something, and she's getting fussy. Like, she's eaten her dinner, she's ready to go to bed, but we will keep giving her snacks to try and prolong the time that she is awake so that we can get to a stopping point in the show, or at least finish the show before taking her up to bed. And it's usually like, oh, you want another banana? You want more animal crackers? Do you want here? You want water? And sometimes we'll put her down and see if she wants to play with her toys. But yeah, we've definitely tried to change up her bedtime either before or later just to try to do a little something for us.
For sure.
But on Instagram, this one was a little more controversial.
I saw that. I was like,
57,
haters.
yeah, 57% of people agreed that they do put their children to bed sooner to watch a show. But 43% of people said that they do not do this.
Maybe they just don't watch much TV.
They may not watch much TV, or they may not be in as strict of a bedtime routine.
It's also true. A lot of people are a little more loose than we are, or especially me, but
Yeah, I mean, because like Ginny has a time frame that we aim to get her to bed, but I mean, she doesn't always get there. Like tonight, she and I were at an event, and we left around 7 o'clock. So we didn't get home until about 7:30, and then we got home. She got to spend some time with Jake, and then she went to bed. And I mean, she was fine. She slept in the car. But yeah, sometimes it just changes up.
yeah, I mean, so for us, she does better more consistently when she's on a schedule, and it works better for us, especially because, like, Chris, he goes to bed early and gets up early, and he wants a little bit of time to himself too. So like it does work better for us to put her to bed at a certain time so that we're able to, get that. But it's not like an end all be all if it doesn't work out for us, like we
Yeah.
still like she there are plenty of times where it doesn't, and sometimes it's on our own doing.
And there are
So
some people out there who they say like they will not schedule anything during bedtime. They will not schedule anything during nap time, because they
I will say
make
I
sure to put their
actively
kids down
avoid
there.
it. Like, if people are asking me like my preference, I definitely like to go around those things as much as possible. But like, if it's unavoidable, like I can make my life go around it too. So it's just kind of day to day.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. So another one for me, and I know that this is one for you too, but we will eat lunch or food in general whenever they're sleeping so that we don't have to share. Or
Oh,
sometimes
yes.
I'll even go through the drive-through or something and eat in the car on the way home, or at least certain part of it, like Chick-fil-A fries. Sometimes I don't want to share my
No, I
Chick-fil-A fries.
definitely understand. And I've done that too. Like on Mondays when I have to come back, she almost always falls asleep. And I get food on the way home, and I don't want to wake her up because she won't go back inside and go back to sleep for me. Like that'll be her nap for the day. So I will sit in the driveway with my food that I just picked up through whatever drive-through. And I sit there and I eat and I turn on my phone if it's been if a while. I mean, I've sat in my car for another hour just to get a nap in. But I take it a step farther, though. I definitely will like put her to sleep, and then as soon as I put her to sleep, I like order Uber Eats, and I'll get like the food that I like, and I'll eat it. And then when it's time for her to wake up, I just like make her chicken nuggets or like whatever we had left over from dinner or whatever. And
Oh, same. I've definitely ordered, 'cause I sometimes you can never tell how long it's going to take for food to get there. And I've ordered food while she's still awake. And then as like once I know that it's on its way and I know what time it's going
oh,
to get
time to
there,
put you down for
then I'm
your
like,
nap.
"Okay, let's go take a nap."
It's like, this makes us sound terrible, but like,
I love my daughter. I really do.
I love her. She gets lots of treats. She gets so many things. I just every now and then, I just want to enjoy my my Panda Express like by myself, watching my show without hearing screaming. I just want to enjoy the whole experience.
So my thing that I always get is going to be some kind of sushi or like a poke bowl or something because I love the raw fish and
She can't
I
eat
want
it.
to, it's like she can't eat that. Yeah. So I want to eat it. I'm not breastfeeding anymore, so I can eat all the mercury that I want.
Do it.
And I don't want her, I don't need her sitting there looking at me wanting it because she really likes rice. She loves sushi rice. And so, whenever, like, we've given her sushi rolls before, but we usually get the tempura that's already cooked or like the avocado rolls.
Yeah.
And we just take them apart. And she loves them. She thinks it's great. So when I get it, she wants it. And I'm like, no, I don't want to share my sushi. It's too expensive. You
Yeah, I don't want to
don't
watch it get thrown on
appreciate
the
it.
ground. Yeah, like,
Yeah. I'm like, you just don't appreciate it. I will buy you something cheap. I'm sorry.
and I don't know about you. I will say, like, I have found that I have lost weight in the past, like, 6 months or so, 8, 10 months. And
I
it is
definitely
not
don't have
because of,
that problem.
no, but I'll tell you, no, I will tell you what it is, though. It is from stress, it is from trying to eat a meal and being screamed at the entire time because they want some of your meal. Once I started like feeding her my own food, food never became an enjoyable experience again because I cannot make her, I cannot, like, even if I make all of her food first, she finishes it and then she's like, "Mom, I want the rest of yours." So I'm like sitting there hustling, trying to get as much as I can because otherwise, I don't know. I once I'm starting to get yelled at, I'm like, I can't eat anymore. I'm too stressed out. And then I end up not eating. And yeah, so that's my
Yeah,
style.
I feel like Jake has that same problem where he focuses so much on her. And me, I usually end up doing the snacks, or sometimes I will just shove water in her face and like just drink the
Drink.
water because sometimes she forgets while she's eating. She just forgets to
Oh.
drink.
I try, and I mean, she'll like also forget, but like she just like will outright refuse to take it sometimes too. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. She's like
Yeah.
fixated on whatever it is that she wants.
Sometimes I have to just, sometimes I'll give her my food and then it just won't look the same because I've cut it up or something for her. And she'll still be looking at me like she wants my food. And I will pick it up and show her, we have the same thing. And she
If
understands. Like she looks at it, she's like, oh, okay. And then she eats what she has. But sometimes I just have to freak out a little bit and be like, girl, look, we have the
Sometimes,
same
yeah, or
thing. It's
sometimes
the
I have to
same
like,
food.
I'll like take a bite of it and hand it to her or something so that she like can understand like this is the same thing mom's eating, like you like it too.
Yeah, sometimes I have to take a sip of her water or take a bite of her food to make her want it. Yeah.
Oh, to be a mom.
I know. But on Instagram, we had majority, so 86% of people agreed with us on this, that they also like to eat their own food and not have to share sometimes.
Yeah.
But 14% said no.
14% are perfect moms out there, aren't they?
Or maybe they just don't, they never think about it. Like,
Maybe.
or
Maybe
they
it's not as
just,
important to them. Who knows?
yeah, maybe they have multiple kids and it's just easier to have everyone in the house eat the same thing. 'Cause I can definitely understand that.
That is
Whenever
true.
Jake's not in the mood to eat whatever Jenny and I are eating, it is very stressful for me to make sure that he gets fed because then he's complaining that he's hungry and he doesn't like what we made, or like the food that we made just didn't turn out the way that he was hoping. So he doesn't like it, and he's not going to eat it. Me, I'll put up with anything. I'm like, I cooked it. I'm going to eat it. It's not raw. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not inedible. I'm not going to waste the food. I'm going to eat it.
I just eat, like, as much as I can until I feel, like, satisfied. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done. If it's, like, not how I wanted it to be. Which happens mm-hmm. plenty of times. Because, you know, we're not perfect cooks. But
yeah. Usually I just end up eating whatever I put on my plate from or in my bowl. And then everything else just... I will save everything else. I just won't go back for seconds.
Yeah.
All right. What's your next one?
Well, that was my next one, was the Uber Eats.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So we do have one more that we posted on Instagram.
Yes. And I did relate to that one as well.
Okay. Did you want to share it?
Sure. I can share it. Definitely sometimes get a little into electronics or get into my phone, especially. That definitely makes me feel guilty. I try really hard to play with her, but I'm just not great at it at this stage. Like, sometimes I have to, like, literally take my tips from Miss Rachel and be like, all right, let me watch this. What are you doing? Okay, let me just do the exact same thing or something. Or, like, we play, like, one, you know, kind of developmental game until she's bored of it, or some kind of sensory activity until she's bored of it. But the other rest of the time, if I'm just spending time with her, I do sometimes find myself, like, pulling out my phone, and when she's like doing her, when she starts to do her own thing, and then I feel bad because, like, suddenly I realize, like, 20 minutes have gone by and I'm like, oh crap, I haven't, like, played with you at all. So that definitely makes me feel bad.
I definitely can relate. I will say, first off, I find it easier to play with Jenny at this stage because, one, she loves books, so I can just take her into her room and she will just sit there and flip through all of her books, pull her books off the thing. Like, she'll, that's what she wants to play with. Ginny loves flipping through the books. We have all those touchy feel books and the ones that you push things and they make noise. She will sit there and she knows where all of them are and she will make the noises and do that. Like, she'll read a book herself. She just doesn't know what she's reading. So she loves that. And I love being able to sit there and she'll bring me books because she wants me to read them to her. So that's something really nice that I enjoy. And then the other thing I was going to say is I definitely can relate to getting caught up in my phone. If she's content and she's doing her own thing, playing whatever, sometimes if she's eating and I'm already done eating and mm-hmm. she's in her high chair, I'll pull my phone out and I'll do stuff. I feel like I get the most zoned out when I'm trying to do something, like not just scroll through social media or anything. If I'm actively trying to do a task, whether that be edit a TikTok video, which I mean, mm-hmm. I feel bad when I do that, but sometimes it's like, this is what's on my mind. I'm trying to at least, like, finish my thought or get something out, and her fussing is kind of stressing me out and making not be able to just finish what I was doing, then, like, sometimes I feel bad about doing that. But a lot of times if I'm searching something, like Jake needed information on something or I needed to look something up and I'm doing that, sometimes that kind of takes all of my attention as well. And then I feel bad. Fussing. Yeah, it's usually just when I'm in that one track mind type of thing. I'm still, obviously, if something happens to her, I need to jump up. Like, I can still do that. I've done that if she's messing with something she's not supposed to. But it's just the fact that she's wanting my attention, and I know that she's wanting my attention, but
and you're,
I'm
like,
just
getting frustrated
zoned in
about it. Yeah, because you're, like, trying to. I totally relate to that. Well, and then it's like, then after the fact, you know, you feel even more guilty because you're like, man, you know, I didn't mean to make her feel bad. And I feel like that's just such a catch-22 situation when it comes to being a mom, because I, on one hand, I'm always like, no, but I want to be there for my child as much as I can. Like, it's not her fault she exists. It's not her fault that she's just a baby, like, and she doesn't understand, like, she needs me, like, my attention as much as I can possibly give it to her. But then at the same time, it's just like, I'm a human and I'm a person that, like, has other things going on, has, you know, my brain's doing other things. Like, it's also okay that my attention isn't 100% on her all the time. So, like, it's like a, you know, and especially when I'm trying, you know, have something else going on. And I feel the same way. Like, literally, it's funny that you said that, because, like, literally just yesterday, I remember she was, like, still eating, and I ate, like, while she was a nap. So I was, like, feeding her, and she was just sitting there, like, eating and watching her show, and I was, like, editing my TikTok video, and it took me a little while, and then I felt bad. I was like, man, we sat here for a while, and, like, took you a while to eat while I did this, but I didn't, like, play with you at all while you, but I was like, I don't know how much we need to play while she's eating. But then, you know, it's just like, exactly, why am I having this argument in my head about, like, whether or not I should feel bad about what, that I was doing something while I was taking care of her. So it's just that perpetual mom guilt.
And that just kind of goes back to, like, the whole wanting to finish my show before dinner, trying to finish what I'm doing before I take care of her. But I will say, I want to try to be very conscious whenever I'm doing this, and my goal is to get better, mainly because as she gets older and starts to understand a little more of what screen time is. Like, right now she knows what my phone is and she always holds it up, but it's mainly because we FaceTime people. So she's used to my phone and using it because that's how she talks to her grandparents and stuff. So as she starts to connect things and know more about, like, she can watch YouTube on the iPad, or my phone has shows and everything, I really want to try and steer clear of, I want to try and watch myself on my screen time that I do around her whenever she's needing my attention, because we've mentioned it before in an episode that, like, I don't want her to grow up being a child who needs to be consoled by technology. I don't want that to be, I don't want that to be the solution. Every time we go out to eat, she's done, she's throwing a fit, she needs to have the phone or whatever.
And see, and that's, and I at home, I totally understand that, and I'll definitely agree with you there. For one, we really don't use, like when we go out to eat, I very, very rarely, unless it's, like, way past her bedtime and we're forcing her to be out and we just need her to be quiet while we finish. And that's, I can count maybe, like, 3 times that we've done that. Like, you know, so, like, we try really hard to be, like, mindful of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. I mean, it's hard because, like, you know, for instance, we all watch TV while we eat dinner. So who am I to be like, you can't watch your show while you eat your food, you know, like, because that would be hypocritical of me. And it's, like, how I was raised. Like, we always had a TV on. Maybe we weren't always watching it, and that's kind of how we eat now. Like, we still talk, we just have, like, Wheel of Fortune playing in the background, and then sometimes we tune in and we, like, guess the word or whatever. Growing up, it was the news on in the background, and sometimes we'd, like, listen in and be like, oh, that's a shame that that's happening, and then that's something that we talked about or whatever. So I just want to find ways that's, like, we can incorporate technology where it doesn't take over your life, but it's just, like, a healthy part of it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't want to be a hypocrite. I definitely think that's, like, something that's important to me, and I think to you as well. It's just, like, I don't want to be the type that's, like, do what I say, not what I do. So I don't want to be like, oh, you can't be on your phone or have screen time or whatever, and I'm just sitting there with my face buried in my phone. So
yeah. Well, I will say 100% of our voters on Instagram agreed with us on this as well, and I just think that it's that day and age. Even 100%. Those people, I feel like I can even think of some family members, even those people who try to say that they don't watch TV during dinner, or they don't do the whole screen time thing. I really feel like we are all victims of getting lost in our phones, because that's how we communicate with people now. Even if you're just texting somebody and you tell your child to hold on a second while you finish something on your phone, I feel like that kind of goes the same way. And it may just kind of fall into a little different category of screen time for you. But also, a lot of people are now working from their computers, from their iPads, from their phones. And so children are growing up like this. I mean, you work from home, and so Claire sees it. And whenever I get to work from home on occasion, Jenny sees it and she wants to mess with my laptop. So those are just things that this generation of children are going to have to, we're going to have to navigate with them and try to do our best to teach them about the balances of it.
Oh, 100%. Well, and you know, as much as I want to keep her, you know, not away from technology, but like on some aspects, I definitely want to monitor her use and whatnot. It's like they use them in their classrooms now. Like there, a lot of elementary schoolers are given tablets to do their homework. Like, it's just crazy. So I feel like it's an inevitability that, you know, it's going to be part of her future. It wasn't a part of our upbringing as much, but it is like inundated in every facet of our lives, and our children are never going to know anything different. It's just, I think we're lucky that we didn't have our childhood like this, so we're the last hope for like creating healthy boundaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think right now the only people who are able to get away with the no screen time or not doing anything with screen time are really those people who homeschool, or people who choose to homeschool using the books.
And they print everything out, and yeah. And even then, it's hard. Like, usually most of the tests are online. And I mean, and maybe even still, like, very limited, you know, screen time. I know that there's a lot of people that don't really let their kids watch TV and stuff like that, and that's great. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's definitely people that you know, probably do more limiting than you and I do, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily. Yeah. But I do think it's, at the end of the day, it's an inevitability that it's going to be part of their lives, like, at some point.
I agree. So one other thing, since this was something that was really hard for Cora and I to come up with more topics on, and I feel like some of it is just because we came up with this ourselves. And
our babies are so, they're still so little, like, they don't talk yet. I know other parents have, like, other, like, little lies that they tell their kids when they're older. Like, the park's
closed.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
Yeah. So I actually did find on parenting.com, there was an article done called Top 10 Secret Mom Confessions. I'm not going to go through all 10, but I did want to go through a few, and we can talk about those. So one is mom wants to be left alone, which I feel like we've kind of covered that a little bit, of us trying to prolong nap time and just trying to do some form of that, letting the kids do their own thing so that we can do our own thing, because that all just stems back to the whole overstimulated, touched out, all of it. One that is a little controversial is sending your kid to school sick. So I will say that I've never sent Jenny to daycare with a fever, but there has been once or twice where I sent Jenny and I knew that she wasn't really feeling completely herself in the morning, but sometimes she's just really cranky, and she didn't have a fever on our thermometer, and selfishly, I had a lot of stuff that I really had to get done at work, and I had to do it in the office, or I at least had to go to the office because I had papers there that I needed to do. So I've definitely sent Jenny to school whenever she wasn't acting her best in the morning, but I've never sent her to school like sick with a virus, or to the point where, like, I worked from home last week because she woke up with a fever, like, she had a rough night and stuff, so I didn't send her to school then. But
for me, I mean, obviously it's not something I have to deal with right now. I think it's probably, you know, it sucks when a kid has to go to school and they don't feel good. Like, that part does kind of suck. But for me, it's more about, like, just try not to spread, like, viruses and germs. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of reasons you cannot feel good, especially with her having, like, ear infections and stuff like that. Like, yeah, they might have come from an infection, like a respiratory infection originally, but if they've been in her system long enough, like, it's not, like, something that's contagious to other people. It's just something that she's dealing with. I know growing up, I had, like, strep throat and bronchitis a lot, and like they were, you know, contagious for like the first couple of days, and I get the antibiotics, but I would still be sick with that crap for like 2 weeks of like coughing up a lung every day and like feeling like crap, but it wasn't contagious anymore. I just, you know, I had to deal with feeling like crap because I had crap to do, especially in college, I remember. So I've had to, you know, deal with that. It sucks, but I think it's life sometimes.
I agree. Another one is, so, judging other moms, which I feel like everybody judges other people at some point in some way. Even if you say that you don't judge, you may not necessarily judge in a negative way, or you may not act any, like, you may not act any different on it.
Or you may not think it's negative.
Yeah, you may not think that your thoughts are judging, but I guarantee you everybody judges other people. And I even know, I think some of this is just because of what I've been told, but a lot of times whenever I see pictures of people posting that their kids sleep with a blanket or their kids sleep with stuff in their crib, I always go to the comments, not because I'm going to comment, but because I know that there's going to be those people posting, you're not supposed to sleep, put your baby to sleep with anything in their crib, or you're not supposed to do this, this, and this. And I mean, I can't talk much because Jenny slept in our bed for almost the first year of her life. And I mean, now I'm also that person who's terrified to let her sleep with a blanket in her crib because I don't want her to get wrapped up in it.
It's funny, you know, we still use a sleep sack, so we don't really use a blanket. I've tried like really cold nights going in there and like tucking her in a blanket afterwards, but she always just kicks it off, and so I end up taking it out. Though we did get her a pillow at this point, because I don't know, she just felt like she wanted one, and sometimes she sleeps with it and sometimes she doesn't. But for me, yeah, stuff like that is like, I think if like if it's a little newborn baby and it's like the first comments like, hey mama, like just so you know, that's not safe. Like, okay, you're being helpful. But then dog piling is not helpful. So like if it's been said 15 times, why you're just wanting to say it for your own like pat on the back, like self-gratification. So
yeah, there are so many times I see on Facebook or TikTok and people are literally saying the same stuff, and I just, do y'all not go and look at the comments first? Do y'all not see the comments? Because you, to comment, you have to go to the comments on TikTok.
No, they do, like I said, they just
like, yeah, I just don't understand why people do that. I mean, you're just being mean. You're a judgy mom if you're doing it like that. Like, you're the negative judgy mom. But
well, and it's like people that go on somebody's page that's like talking about formula feeding, and they're like, hey mama, just so you know, breast is best. It's like,
like, what was the point of that?
That is best, actually. Yeah, like, it was like, I think the mom is feeding her baby and she's got it handled. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just like, why? That's like, what? If I told you every single time, hey, have you tried breastfeeding? Hey, did you try it? Hey, have you actually, like, that's like if I hounded you.
Yeah, it's like, just, yeah, like, no, I think,
Yeah, that's crazy. next one. And we'll just do two more. But next one is, mom has a favorite child. So apparently, only 14% of moms said that they do not have a favorite child.
You know, that does not surprise me. Because every mother that I've ever met that, and like, and I'm talking about mothers of like adults, you know, like my friends and their parents and my family, they all have favorite children.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that kind of worries me with having another kid. Not necessarily that I think I'm gonna have a favorite, but that I think Jenny's gonna think I have a favorite, or the other kid, like the next kid's gonna think I have a favorite, because I'm gonna have to give the newborn more attention than Jenny, because they're gonna have to be fed, they're gonna have Like, they're going to be sleeping most of the time. Like, they're not going to be able to play with her. And I feel like we went through this with our dogs, too, whenever we brought Jenny home, trying to keep them happy and give them the attention that they're used to, or at least some of the attention they're used to, trying to go outside and play with them and just trying to make sure that they know we didn't forget about them, that we're not just locking them in their kennel or locking them outside all day. And I can definitely tell you, even with all of our dogs, whenever we had four dogs, I definitely had like a favorite two, but it was more so they were the only two that did stuff. Like, they were the only two that played. They were the only two that wanted to cuddle. And so it wasn't necessarily that I had a favorite because I didn't like the other two. It was more so these are the only two that'll cuddle with me or that will do anything with me. And so, like, they're the ones that are giving me my happiness.
Well, and I mean, and I'm not going to say, like, necessarily like that, but, like, even that's, I feel like that's something that happens with people is, like, you know, you have a different type of relationship with one person. And in this case, you know, your child or your parent, and you have a different type of relationship than you do with your other, just because of who they are, who they become. Like, even though you might try to raise them as similarly as possible, they're still going to have slightly different upbringings for one, and they're still going to be different people. So, you know, it's hard to say. Like, it's something I worry about too, and it's one of the reasons that I want to wait until Claire is a bit older, closer to school age, so that one, that she can have that key development time with more focus, and two, I want her to be in an age where she's a little bit more able to understand. So
yeah,
definitely something I think about.
So the last one that, the last one that I have on here, and I think you and I can both agree with this, is using your kids to get out of things.
Oh yeah. I think that's not one that people have mom guilt over, though. They might have like a little bit of guilt, but probably not too much mom guilt.
Yeah, it's probably not mom guilt, but it's definitely something that I don't think a lot of moms would really confess to a bunch of people, mainly because they don't want it getting out that
to people that they're getting things out of.
Yeah, like no, I didn't want to go hang out with you, so I lied to you. But yeah, I feel like I also did this a lot before I had a kid, and I would blame Jake. Had Jake be my scapegoat sometimes for sure. I didn't want to hang out with somebody or if I didn't want to do something.
And for me, it's more like, it's not so much getting out of things. Because, I mean, yeah, I can use Claire, like, oh, yeah, whatever, this is going on. So I get, there's a million things I can use to, like, get out of, like, going to something. But it's like, she is great for leaving something when I'm ready to go. Oh, sorry, you know, baby's got to go nap, or baby's got to go eat, or, you know, whatever. Baby's getting fussy. Like, million different excuses you can use whenever you're, like, social, like, battery has come to an end and you need to skedaddle. Like, baby is a perfect excuse for that, and I will, or kids, whatever, like, I will definitely continue to use that for as long as I can.
I don't think I've ever really used that, because I don't want to say that I don't have a social battery, because there's definitely times when I just don't want to go out and be around people, but I don't think I've ever, I only have ever been in a situation ready to leave and use Ginny, because I think Ginny and I both thrive off of being around other people whenever we're already out. And Ginny's usually on her better behavior around other people, and I usually like to have somebody else to talk to anyway, even if they're not a person that I generally like to hang out with. So I think once it dies down and it kind of gets to that lull where it gets awkward, like, do we keep talking or do we go? Then I start to use Jenny as, okay, well, it's time for her nap, so we're going to go. But I usually wait for that lull
to come. Not going to lie, I am super introverted and I definitely have a low social battery. So, like, I used to thrive, at least I thought I thrived off of being around people, but I don't know. Definitely
these I think it's days, funny that you're introverted like that, but yet you work in event and like in the event industry.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I know, and I'll be like out there and I'm like super bubbly and then I'm like, "Man, I got to go sit in the back for a minute. It's loud." Like, and I just sit back there and I just like take 5 minutes to myself. It's nice. Car ride home, listen to a podcast. Anyways, should we get into some oh shits and oh yes?
Yes, we should.
Okay. Why don't you go first?
Okay. Oh shit is just adulting, money, bills, all that stuff. It all sucks.
It does. Like,
we're just gonna say it all sucks. My oh yeah is that Jenny and I got to meet Steve Burns tonight from Blue's Clues. He was
so
the original
cool.
guy on Blue's Clues, and I was fangirling really hard without trying to look like I was fangirling.
It's like
But,
our literal childhood right there.
Yes, oh my god. He's shorter in person than I thought he was. On TV, like, I really thought that he was taller. He's about my height.
Yeah,
So,
I saw from the picture. You'll have to post the picture.
I did. Oh, yeah, I'll post it on Instagram.
Great. That's
But,
awesome.
yes, Jenny and I got to meet him, and it was just so much fun. He was so nice. He came to the school to do a little inspirational talk, and he was interviewed by one of our alums who I think she's like a broadcaster or something. She does something in public relations. So she pretty much came to interview him, which I thought it was going to be more of an inspirational talk, but I didn't realize it was going to be an interview. We unfortunately didn't get to stay for that because, like I said, Jenny wasn't going to make it. It started at 7. So we were lucky enough that they did a little happy hour dinner type reception beforehand at around 6. And because I work there, I was invited and got to go. And I was an alum. They invited some employees, mainly from our office. And then they sent out to some young alums, but nobody really came other than some people from our office, and then some they had the Black and Gold Council there, which are students, and then some other like Board of Regents, like a few Board of Regents or some other important people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the president's house on campus. So it was really nice. It was really small. And Jenny was the life of the party. Everyone loved her. Whenever the president was giving a little thank you to Steve for coming, I'm holding Jenny and she's like cheering the president on. Like she had her little snack cup with her animal crackers and she was shaking it. So like she was clapping.
That's funny.
And Steve loved her. Duh, like she's
okay.
great. She's the apple of my eye. I love her too, and it was just so cool. And I walked up to him, I was like, can we please get a picture, like she watches you and I watched you. And he was so nice. He even held her snack cup and smiled like a little kid. And great,
love it.
10 out of 10. It was great.
That's wonderful.
What about you?
Well, so my oh shit, it does have like an oh yeah component to it. I mean, it's like you take the good with the bad. But so Chris is going to be like moving to a different position. It's not necessarily a promotion. It's more like a cross departmental thing. So he's going to be doing something in more like accounting data entry. But it is going to change his schedule a little bit. So it doesn't 100% work with mine. So that's a little, because, you know, especially like whenever I have to go like in for tastings, doesn't get off until 4 now, so gonna have to figure some of that out a little bit, get more with my mom and potentially, you know, get somebody to watch her for an hour or two until he gets home some days. But yeah, so that's annoying. But we'll figure it out. But our oh yeah is that we got our offer accepted and we are getting a new house. So yeah, we're gonna be first time home buyers And I'm very excited about it. We love our new little house that we're getting. We close on it at the end of March, and hopefully we'll
Nice.
be all moved in by sometime in May. We don't have to be out of our current place until the end of May. So yeah, I'm super
That's
excited.
awesome.
Yeah, it's got all the space that we need and a little room to grow. And previous people are leaving a playscape in the backyard, so Claire's gonna have like a playground right in her backyard.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Oh, yeah.
the have to
I
come over
for
and play.
Sorry, I did not mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
One of the ladies at work, her daughter's three, and they have this little tiny little like playground type thing. It's you can find them on Amazon, and I actually thought it, I almost bought Jenny one for her birthday.
Oh, like the indoor obstacle course things?
So it's not an obstacle course. It's literally just a slide, a swing, and a little basketball hoop on the side.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I almost bought one for Jenny, and I think like we can just put it outside on our little deck, or even in the
Cool.
yard. But yeah, she's giving it to us for free because her daughter doesn't use it anymore.
Nice.
And so we're gonna go pick it up this weekend. I'm really excited about that.
Exciting. That's awesome.
You
That's
talking about
cool.
that just about the playscape just made me think about it.
Yeah, and the playscape's really cool. I mean, a lot of it's got like a slide and stuff and some swings, so she'll primarily use that part now, but it's great because it's something she can use, like she can grow with it. It's got like monkey bars, and then underneath it's got like little, well, it's got like the playhouse area down here, and then there's like a little window she could like pretend to play shop, and it's got like a little bench outside of it, so really
That's
cute.
cute.
Yeah, and then we're gonna put her little trampoline out there and get like a water table and whatnot. So yeah, our backyard's gonna be the place to be this summer. So super excited about that. Already like planning Claire's first birthday there in my mind. It's gonna be so fun. So
Yeah, that's exciting.
really
Yeah,
excited.
Jenny got a play table for her birthday, and we just it's been in our backyard since then, because we put it together to get it out of the box, but it just got hot enough this past weekend that she was actually able to play with it. So we put a little water in it, and then she just stood there, splashed around, had some fun, and yeah. She
Nice.
really enjoys it so far, but it has at some point it has the ability where we can screw the hose into it so that water is constantly flowing through it. So
Nice.
eventually we'll do something with it, but I just filled up the bottom and she was just splashing in it and then trying like she just got her hand wet and then stuck it in her mouth just trying to eat the or drink the
Okay.
water from her hand.
Oh my goodness. All right, everybody. Well, that is our episode for today. I hope you guys all enjoyed it and got a laugh out of it, maybe found it a little relatable.
Yeah, hopefully we are not the only ones who feel like we do sometimes. But from the votes on our Instagram, it seems like a lot of you feel the same way that we do, and we can all agree on that.
I'm
So that
willing to
makes us feel a
bet.
lot better.
For sure. I'm definitely willing to bet that there are many more moms that do just as bad things as we do from time to time. So,
Yeah, for sure. And be sure to leave us a comment on the Instagram and let us know what your mom confessions are. You can even send it to us in a message if you don't want to post it out into the world. But we would just love to know what your confessions are. And we probably feel the same way you do. So this is a safe environment, safe place. You can let us know how you feel and we will just back you up because we're
100%.
all going through it.
For sure. And if you guys have any other questions, comments, concerns, topics you want to see us cover, please let us know. You can find us on social media at Learning on the Job Moms on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and you can email us at learningonthejobmoms@gmail.com for any other inquiries.
We hope you really enjoyed this episode and hope you have a great day.
We'll talk to you guys next time.